Elizabeth George is one of the most acclaimed mystery writers of the last two decades. The books in her Inspector Linley series are mainstays on bestseller lists across the country, with each installment garnering rave reviews, an incredible feat for an American writer tackling British crime fiction. Her ability to create characters who grow and evolve over two dozen novels, develop scenes that take readers into a picturesque English setting, and construct intricate plot twists that make her novels the definition of a page-turner. That has cemented her as one of the great crime novelists writing today. At events, Elizabeth George is often asked, "How do you do it?" So in her new book, Mastering the Process, From Idea to Novel, she shares her method to creating one of the most beloved mystery series ever written. Again, the name of the book is Mastering the Process, From Idea to Novel, and we welcome Elizabeth George to the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very delighted to be here.
So what got you thinking or wanting to share the process with people?
Well, I have been teaching writing for a number of years, and I decided that it might be an interesting take on how to approach writing if I were to use my process as an example. Earlier, I had written a book about craft called Right Away, and in that book, I used examples from everything from Shakespeare to I don't want to say ordinary novels. No novel is really ordinary, but I would say, you know, from Shakespeare to crime writing and all points in between. And so what I decided to do in this book was to look not at the craft, but at the process, and the only process that I can really ever describe adequately is my own process. So to do that, I chose one of my novels, and all the examples are drawn from that.
Do you think your process is unusual, different from the norm, or is a process in the sense of you outfit it to make it the best for you?
Well, sort of, it's a little bit of both. First of all, it is, I think it would be considered kind of wildly complicated by people who aren't familiar with the fact that every single writer has some kind of process. It is something that I developed that is certainly peculiar to me because I have added to it through the years, and it looks in depth at a number of different areas that are involved in novel writing. And I think it's the depth of the look that makes it a little bit different.
You say in the prologue, as you read the book, the only requirement is that you keep your mind open. As you tell your writing students, take what you like and leave the rest. It's what works for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the book, I'm really clear about that, there's no cookbook for writing a novel. And so I can't give them a cookbook, but what I can say is these are the ingredients that I use, and this is how I use them, and this is what they do for me. And I encourage people to try any of these ingredients that they think will possibly illuminate the process that they're developing for themselves. Because, you know, you can't say this is the only way to do it or this is how to do it. You could only say this is how I do it.
You start off the book by talking about research. Give us an idea of why that is so important, number one, and number two, of really how it's helped form and frame your novels.
Sure. The thing about research is that ultimately it is going to provide the writer with a lot of details that she wouldn't necessarily have. In my case, the research generally involves location, because I write about Great Britain and I live in the state of Washington and prior to this in the state of California. So as someone who's never actually lived in England, it requires me to go and really experience a location. And that's the first step of my research, is to experience the location so that I can pull from it the telling details that make it different from every other location. So what that will do for anybody who is actually writing about a location that they either know or they don't know is it will do exactly that. It will let them pull out the details. The difficulty for writing about a place you know, for example, is that you drive around that place every single day, and the telling details of the place have probably eluded you for a long time because you're used to them. You don't really see them. So even if you're writing about your own backyard, the important thing, I think, for people to do is to go out and to experience that backyard in an entirely new way. The telling details often will give me elements of plot, and that's extremely important, especially when you're writing a crime novel.
So, for example, in your Inspector Linley series, and given the number of books that you've done in that series, do you have to keep going back to the UK? Is that something like per book, or is it a sort of an ongoing exploration of the place?
Oh, it's absolutely per book, because in each book, I am looking at it either at a different area of England or I'm looking at a different area of London, and I'm generally dealing with a specific topic that I haven't dealt with before. So, for example, the book I'm working on right now is a book that takes place in London, but it takes place in areas of London that I have never experienced before. Because I'm writing crime novels and because the novels are about present-day London, it's important for me to actually go and see these locations and walk around the locations and experience the locations as much as I can. The same thing goes when I'm writing about an area of England, despite the fact, for example, that I've been to the Lake District many, many times. When I set a book in the Lake District, I went there specifically with that in mind. Now I'm setting a crime novel in the Lake District, and therefore I'm going to look at the Lake District as a location for a book. Totally different from being a tourist, because I'm looking at completely different things.
How long, for you to be comfortable, how long do you need to spend there?
It sort of depends on where the location is. Usually, I would have to be there between a week and 10 days, and then I would have to go back to fine-tune the research. So, for example, I would go, and during the time I'm there, I am looking at a lot of places that I've chosen in advance because I begin by reading about the location. So I've looked at a number of different books about it, and in reading these books, I've seen things that suggest plot to me. And I decide, oh, okay, I've got to go look at that place to see if it will work. So I go to those different locations, and I am taking photographs, and I'm speaking into my handheld tape recorder, and I am also doing interviews. At the end of that, I come home, and I begin the process itself of putting together the book. And generally, I would say, midway or three quarters of the way through the process, I will then go back to England and then just fine tune all of the locations.
At what point do you know what it's going to be about?
Oh, that's a tough one. Sometimes I know in advance. For example, the book I'm working on right now, I knew in advance what I was going to be writing about. Sometimes I have no idea. So, for example, the book that I was just referencing, the book in the Lake District, a book called Believing the Lie, I had absolutely no idea what it was going to be about, which is a really scary thing when you're a writer, especially this writer. So I went to the Lake District simply hoping that the Lake District itself would give me a good idea about what the book should be about crime-wise. And that's exactly what happened. I went to see a place I'd read about called Fellfoot Park on Lake Windermere. And there in the park, I saw a boathouse, which was made as everything in the Lake District is. It was faced with a particular kind of stone. They're really strict about how you build up there. And it was wonderfully atmospheric. When I looked at the boathouse, and there was a little pier next to it that I could walk out on, and I was able to see inside the boathouse as well. And I thought, oh, okay, this is it. This is where the body will be found. And then from that point forward began piecing together the novel, because then I started asking my questions. Who is this person? Why is this person? How has this person died? Why has this person died? Who killed the person, et cetera?
I use this word very loosely, but what is the luxury, if you will, of having a series character and a world that you have created for a number of books?
The biggest luxury is that I'm not reinventing the wheel. That's one thing. I already have my crime fighters. I've been with them many, many years. I created a group of individuals that I really like. And so all of those things make it easier for me to enter into the story. Additionally, as a reader, I've always loved reading series ever since I was a child. And so when I began to write, I decided, okay, that is what I was going to do, because I knew that if I was successful in the creation of these characters, in other words, if I was able to create characters that resonated with the reader, that the reader would return to see these characters again, much as I had done when I was reading series.
You talk about in the book the importance of dialogue, and at what point in your career did you start to get it of what made good dialogue and really how revealing dialogue could be as far as revealing details of a certain character?
Well, dialogue is tricky because it doesn't translate the way we normally speak into what you see on the page. In other words, when I'm creating dialogue, what I have to keep in mind is that it has to appear like real language, even though it can't be real language. What I mean by that is, you know, those of us of a certain age know what it sounded like when the Watergate tapes were printed verbatim in the newspapers. With all of the pauses, the uhs, the backtracking, the nonsensical use of language, all of that was just written verbatim. I like to say that was when it looked like everybody that was in the Oval Office was an idiot, and of course later on we found out that was the case. However, so what I'm saying is that each character has to have a distinct voice. Each character has to have a distinct way of speaking. And each character has to look as if they're speaking normally when they are not actually speaking normally. How did I figure this out? I just think over time, because I worked a lot on the dialogue. And I also was aware that the British people speak differently than we do. They use different syntax than we do. They certainly use different vocabulary. And all of that became part of the mix. So I think I would have to say that the dialogue has sort of grown with me. As I've grown as a writer, so has my ability with dialogue, I hope.
There is, of course, a ever-present question with writers about outlining. You talk in the book about step outlining. How is that different and or similar to what we think of as outlining?
Well, I think everybody approaches the idea of outlining differently. I do it in two parts. And the reason I do it is because in a crime novel, you absolutely have to juggle things correctly and accurately, and there are a lot of things to juggle. So if I'm not creating an outline in which one scene is causally related to the next scene, then I can end up with a lot of scenes that are unnecessary. So what I do is I do it actually in a three-part part process. The first part is that I note down every possible scene that can happen or needs to happen in the section of the book that I am working on. I don't ever outline an entire book. I would never be able to do a book if I ever outlined an entire book at one time. So let's say that I can come up with, based on this particular killing, that the first 10 things that ought to happen are this. I just jot those things down. And then the next thing I have to do is look at them and decide, okay, now, in what order do these things need to happen and from whose point of view? So the organization part, answering those two questions, that is the step outline. Because what I do is I put those scenes, as I call them, onto little pieces of paper, and then I just shuffle them until they make sense dramatically, and also that there's a causal relationship established. And then what I do is create the scene in present tense, and that's the step outline. So let's say I've done 10 in the step outline. Now I do a creation of an outline that is a present tense rendering of the scene. What that allows me to do is to try a whole bunch of different things without worrying about the artistry of language. So what I like to do is when I'm actually writing the rough drafts, when I'm actually writing the novel itself, that is all about art. That's all about the creative use of language. And I don't want to be sitting there trying to do three things simultaneously, thinking about causality, thinking about the shape of the scene I'm about to write, and trying to do it in an artistic fashion. I just take all those elements and do each one separately.
Do you have a favorite part of the process?
Oh, sure. The rough draft. Obviously. Yeah. I love doing the rough draft. That is absolutely my favorite part of the process.
What does that give you? What do you enjoy about it?
Oh, it's just, it's uplifting. Mm-hmm. You know, as any creative act is, it is uplifting. It is, it allows the spirit to be set free. It is often surprising. I love the fact that I'll be frequently creating something and realize, oh my God, this can happen too. And so there's moments of inspiration. If you look at my process as something that, you know, seems to be rote and totally lacking in either fun or inspiration, then that would be to misjudge the process, because the inspiration comes from the running plot outline, which is the rendering of each scene and throwing things up on the computer screen, seeing what's going to work, and from the rough draft. And inspiration always comes from those two areas.
The name of the new book is Mastering the Process, From Idea to Novel. The book is published by Viking. Elizabeth George, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the new book is Mastering the Process, From Idea to Novel by Elizabeth George. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.